Welcome to the Milwaukee Public Museum's podcast about the Danish house that you will find in the museum's European village. This podcast was created by Dick Diener with help from the museum staff. Additional information came from the book Danes in Wisconsin by Frederick Hale.
What can you tell me about Europeans from Denmark who immigrated to Wisconsin?
The 1800s was a time of great change in Denmark. The Industrial Revolution brought a rapid increase of migration from rural to urban areas, but unemployment was high. Denmark also had large numbers of landless rural peasants who sought new opportunities. These factors, along with revolution in many European countries and changes in government, led many Danes to seek a new beginning by emigrating to America. Land and abundant natural resources attracted early Danish immigrants to Wisconsin. The first Danes settled as farmers in Waukesha and Dodge County. The census of 1850 reported 146 Danish-born residents in Wisconsin. These early Danes were scattered from Kenosha to Waupaca and east to Green Bay. But, by the 1880s, Racine was one of the most important centers of Danish culture in North America. The J.I. Case Company of Racine was a major employer of immigrants from Denmark. In addition to farming and manufacturing, Danes were instrumental in Wisconsin's dairy and brewing industries.
The Danish house looks different from the other houses in the European village. Why?
The Danish house represents the typical construction found in Northern Europe and brought to America. The wattle and daub technique of house construction was common in Denmark. Denmark does not have the forest resources that we have in Wisconsin. This construction method makes limited use of timbers as supports. Between the timbers are wattles of woven twigs that are daubed with a mud mixture. After this dries, it is normally whitewashed to increase its resistance to rain. Compared with modern construction techniques, the thatched roof on the Danish house may appear unusual. This thatched roof was common in Northern Europe and was made from wheat sheaf. It's constructed with bundles of wheat about 2 feet in diameter and built from the bottom up. The bundles are laid on the roof with the butt end facing out and secured to the roof beams. These are then pegged into place with wooden rods. The sticks lying over the ridge at the top hold the final sheaves in place. The roof over the museum's Danish house has been treated with a fire retardant material. You may think that this construction is somehow inferior, but in fact, a well-constructed thatched roof may last 45 to 50 years, which is twice as long as today's asphalt shingled roofs. Did you notice the stork on the roof? According to Northern European superstition, if a stork built its nest on your roof, you were considered fortunate. This was a good omen for family happiness. Perhaps this is the source of the superstition that storks bring babies to families.
What can you tell me about items inside the house?
You'll immediately notice the spinning wheel that women would use to produce yarn from wool or linen. Cotton was used sparingly because it was more expensive. Do you see the decorative wooden mangle board hanging on the wall? It was used to press out linen. The trunk in the back was used to store the family's valuables and keepsakes. Trunks were frequently wedding gifts and used by immigrants to transport their valuables from Denmark to Wisconsin. The firearm on the table was a costly item. It was used for hunting as well as a weapon to arm the citizen army. Denmark strongly believed in a citizen army to defend itself against invaders. Finally, take note of the detailed items carved out of wood. The Danes are well known as wood carvers, a craft which dates back to the Vikings.
What are the blue plates along the back wall?
Those are very special Christmas plates, or Juleplate. The tradition of these plates date back to a time when household servants were given a gift of food by the master of the house at Christmas time. This gift was presented on a plate which was specially carved for the servant. Years later, Harald Bing of Bing & Grøndahl, a Danish porcelain company, commercialized this tradition in hopes that it would save his company. Since 1895, Bing & Grøndahl has issued an annual Yule Platte. These Christmas plates are the world's oldest collector series. These beautiful plates are produced in a technique known as Danish underglaze blue-painted porcelain. All Christmas plates are produced in relief and hand-decorated with an underglaze of cobalt blue. Each plate is usually signed on the reverse by the artist. The subject matter depicted on the plates usually represent Denmark's relationship with God, religious figures, the sea, dominant buildings, mythological creatures such as a Christmas elf, the traditions and customs of caring for animals and nature. Somewhere on each plate you'll find the Christmas star. The museum owns a complete set of these plates dating back to 1895. Bing & Grøndahl was founded in 1853 and existed until 1987 when the Royal Copenhagen Porcelain Company merged with Bing & Grøndahl. Every year, a new Bing & Grøndahl Yule Platte is issued by Royal Copenhagen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast about the Danish House at the Milwaukee Public Museum's European Village.